Okay, the next case before the court is 20-1528, Ethicon LLC versus Intuitive Surgical, Inc. In this case, we have both an appeal and a cross-appeal from a decision of the Patent Trial and Appeal Board. Mr. Ferguson, you're going first with respect to the main appeal, and as I understand it, you want 5 minutes for rebuttal. Is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. If you're ready, you may proceed.
Thank you. Good morning, and may it please the Court, Brian Ferguson for Ethicon. With respect to Ethicon's main appeal, the evidence before the Board showed that there are three relevant types of surgical systems at the time of the 431 patent. The first type were the devices where the surgeon holds and manually operates the device, like in Figure 1 of the 431 patent. The second type were the robotic systems, shown in figures 34 and 35 of the 431 patent and also in figures 1 and 2 of the prior art Tierney patent, where robotic arms moved and manipulated the surgical tools while the surgeon was remotely located at a control panel. And the third type were motor-controlled surgical tools under a computer direction, but where the surgeon still physically held the device during the surgery. And an example of that third type is the Whitman prior art, and there were other publications describing the same at Appendix 1915 to 1930. The Board erred when it construed the claims of the 431 patent so broadly that it found them anticipated by the third type of device when the claims are plainly directed to the second type of system, and as such, when properly construed, are not anticipated by Whitman. Ethicon raised two claim construction issues before the Board, robotic system and tool mounting portion, which together in the context of the disclosed invention confirm that the claims do not cover Whitman's handheld system. First.
Counsel, can we talk about the mounting question first? I'm having a hard time understanding exactly what you're saying in your blue brief. Is it your claim that the mounting tool portion is what provides support for the surgical tool, or are you arguing that the robotic system provides support for the surgical tool?
Good question, Your Honor. It's both.
Thank you. That's why I asked it. I'm sorry. I'm kidding. Go ahead.
The tool mounting portion is on the surgical tool, and it is then mounted to the robotic arm of the robotic system. So the tool mounting portion, what is being mounted is the tool itself to the robotic arm of the robotic system.
Mr. Ferguson, this is Judge Stoll. It seems to me, in looking at the plain claim language and the specification, it seems equally plausible that the tool mounting portion, the mounting term that you are emphasizing the Board didn't give enough effect to, that could also reasonably mean that the tool is mounted on the tool mounting portion. And the Board's construction does at least have some of that in it by saying that I think it's the transmission is supported by the tool mounting portion and other parts of the tool. They use the word support, which comes from the plain claim language itself later in the claim. But nonetheless, why is it that I'm supposed to understand that the tool mounting portion means that it's mounted on the robotic system as opposed to what might, you know, on the plain claim language seem to be more logical, which is that the tool is mounted on the tool mounting portion.
In the context of what's written in the specification, Your Honor, I think it's very clear that the tool mounting portion as described is the portion that's mounted to the robotic arm. For example, at column 28, this is at appendix 190, the first paragraph, which begins at line 1, going down through line 16, it says specifically that the surgical tool, 1200, so that's the tool, is operably coupled to the manipulator, the manipulator is the robotic arm, by a tool mounting portion, generally designated as 1300. And that's that's shown in figure 38, for example, which is at appendix 93. The tool, the end effector, is obviously the rod that's coming out of the box. The box 1300, that is what is mounted to the robotic arm manipulators.
Would you say, though, that this the tool that's coming out of 1300 is also supported by 1300 as it's attached in there?
That is definitely true, and we do not take issue with that because that is specified in the claim language itself. Our issue is that the board only construed the claim tool mounting portion to address, as what Your Honor just raised, that the tool is attached to that, but does not take into account that the specification describes the tool mounting portion as being supported and connected to the manipulators, the robotic arms of the robotic system itself. So where the board, we believe...
The board did say that it's operably coupled. That is, the tool mounting portion, I think they said, was operably coupled. You just want more than that. You want it to be that the tool mounting portion is actually supported by the robot, right? Robotic system.
That's right, because that is the entire context of this particular invention. The invention is not directed towards a tool that is held by a surgeon at all. The whole point of this invention was to take existing end effectors, which are the surgical staplers, and be able to use... Was that my... be able to use them on these robotic systems. And the only way to do that is what's shown in the specification, which is where they are mounted to the robotic arms. And we think the board's construction was just too broad. Yes, it is the broadest reasonable interpretation, but it's unreasonable to interpret tool mounting portion in this context to not be mounted to the robotic arms of the robotic system.
Counsel, isn't part of the problem...
So, Mr. Judge Clevenger, so what if it is mounted to that, the shaft assembly and the is being operably supported on the tool mounting portion, not operably supported by the tool mounting portion? So why isn't it enough just to have it connected to the tool mounting portion?
And that, I think, is covered in the claim, Your Honor. But what is this?
I'm pointing out the difference between the word on and the word by. And the transmission arrangement is operably supported on the tool mounting portion, not supported by. So it's not like it's supporting the weight of.
And I might not be understanding your question entirely, Your Honor, and I apologize for that. But I do think that the in the context of the specification, again, the tool...
Help me out. What's precisely wrong with the board's interpretation? Structure for operable attachment to the tool drive assembly. So they're going to have it... They agree that it's going to be operably attached to your tool drive assembly. You agree with that part of the interpretation?
We do, because that's the language.
Okay.
That's
the language of the claim. And then they say it operably supports the elongated shaft assembly, which is what the language calls for, and it operably supports a transmission arrangement. What's missing? Don't you agree that that interpretation is correct insofar as it goes?
It is. We believe there are three requirements of the tool mounting portion. The board.
Help me out and say what has to be added to the precisely added to the board's interpretation. What words to satisfy you?
The board needed to recognize that the tool mounting...
Can you add the words?
Yes.
Yeah.
The tool mounting portion is attached to a support, which is the manipulator of the robotic arm. That's what's missing. And as a result of missing...
Mr. Ferguson, this is Judge Stoll. Can I ask you a question? If with your construction, wouldn't you be rendering the language operable attachment to the tool drive assembly of the robotic system redundant?
No, because there's a difference between operably, which means that it is then under control, and physically, which means that it is attached to. That's what the board is lacking.
I have one more question before you save your rebuttal time. So why should the claim term encompass the robotic system when the function that that appears to be served with respect to this claim is directed to supporting the surgical tool?
Well, again, Your Honor, this goes to the disclosure in the specification. The claim can't be broader than what is disclosed in the specification, and reasonably what is disclosed in the specification is that the tool has to be mounted to the robotic arm.
Okay, this is part of the problem here is that, you know, this looks very much like a means plus function claim, and if it's not, then the claim language itself has to really call out the structure, and you're asking us to go through several steps to figure out what the structure is.
I think the board said that no one interpreted this term below as being a means plus function term. If I may take 1 minute, and I know I'm in my rebuttal, I'll use that. I also did want to discuss the term robotic system in my opening argument because there again, the board construed robotic system too broadly. There is only one robotic system disclosed in the entire specification. It's robotic system 1000. It requires the control unit and the cart having the robotic manipulator arms. And to construe the claim so broadly that the robotic arms are missing or not included is, again, not consistent with the specification. So if there are any questions on that, otherwise I'll reserve my remaining time.
Okay. Thank you. Let's hear from Mr. Katz.
Thank you, Your Honors. So I'll address the appeal briefly and then move on to the cross-appeal. On the tool mounting portion, I think that Your Honors expressed through your questions their understanding of the issues here. And I think, as Your Honors pointed out, you know, the tool mounting portion, the word mounting doesn't state where the mounting occurs, even under Ethicon's construction of that. And I guess the one thing I did hear my friend mention is that, you know, the specification repeatedly says the tool mounting portion must be mounted to the robot. And, of course, that's not correct. And, in fact, the passage that my friend read on column 28 at appendix 190 doesn't say that, right? I presume this is the best passage they have for their position, and as he read it, it says that the assembly is operably coupled to the tool through the tool mounting portion, so there's no requirement of mounting. It's not in the spec, and of course it's not in the claim. With that, I will just touch on robotic system very briefly. As we pointed out in our briefs, at Appendix 11, the patent specifically does, and is discussed in the final written decision, the patent specifically discusses that other types and forms of robotic systems other than just the particular one disclosed is covered. So there's really no question there's not a definition here. And I just also want to point out that at Appendix 2158, we pointed out in our briefs that Dr. Cimino admitted that their definition was incorrect, that there's no requirement that you have a slave cart, for example, and he admitted that. So given that admission, I'm not sure why they keep arguing that somehow there's a definition when their own expert disagrees. Turning to the cross-appeal, the issue here is that the board, when it went to obviousness, did perform the wrong obviousness analysis, and frankly, we believe in direct contradiction of KSR. And so the board, you know, noted that it would be, at a general level, obvious to combine all sorts of different instruments with the Tierney robot. And this is best makes sense. And that's at Appendix 28. But then the board should have stopped there. The board should have said, okay, so it's obvious. It would have been obvious to combine the two. There's no dispute that all the elements would be there. But then the board essentially said, now you need to show not only a motivation to convert Whitman to be connected to a robot, you need to show a motivation to keep the Whitman shifter intact as opposed to ripping it out. And there is no requirement for that in the law of obviousness. And in fact, it's directly...
I really don't even understand your KSR argument. I mean, you're basically trying to say that you're going to substitute the motivation to combine requirement for some kind of a benefits requirement?
Actually, Your Honor, it's our understanding from KSR that the motivation to combine comes from finding a benefit, some benefit to the combination, and then that would motivate one of skill in the art to make the combination. And so what our KSR argument is this, Your Honor. In KSR, there was an Asano pedal that had all sorts of features that went beyond a typical adjustable pedal. In fact, it had the ability, you know, to equalize the force as the pedal was pressed down. And the argument was, well, you know, you wouldn't necessarily pick this reference. There's other adjustable references, adjustable pedal references to pick. And what the Supreme Court, I think, says clearly is, well, that's not correct. You might start with from scratch and just build a basic adjustable pedal, but you also might take the pre-existing ones, such as Asano. And so if it would be obvious to take an adjustable pedal and add an electronic throttle control, that would be obvious to apply to all the adjustable pedals, including Asano. And what we're saying is that's exactly what we have here. You start with Whitman, right? Whitman is a surgical stapler with a shifter built in. And then the question is, would it have been obvious, would there have been a motivation to modify Whitman to be connected to the Tierney robot? And the board's pretty much has already said yes. Yes, we see that Tierney does make a suggestion to make this combination. And we pointed out all the benefits.
But isn't part of the problem that Whitman's shifter is optional? And didn't the board say that's not sufficiently motivating?
Right.
I mean, that's a factual conclusion.
Actually, Your Honor, we think that's a legal error in the obviousness analysis because we concede that the shifter is optional in that there are two embodiments. What we're saying is if I have a Whitman device with a shifter, would it have been obvious to take that and make it and roboticize it and so connects to the Tierney robot? Would there be a benefit to making that connect to the Tierney robot? And there is a benefit. It doesn't matter whether the shifter is needed or not in that circuit. There's a benefit to making that Whitman device work with the robot. And we believe that's what KSR says, that you don't parse out all the different functionality in the primary reference. If it's obvious to adapt Whitman for use with a Tierney robot, it's obvious to use the shifter in Whitman. It's already there. What could be more obvious? Right, in some sense, optional features come along for free. You know, if it's obvious to convert a car from diesel to gasoline or gasoline to electric, and that prior car has a radio in it, well, it would have been obvious to keep the radio. Right, you don't need to show. Well, you know, it's because it's disclosed.
Now, you argued that you told the board that Whitman and Tierney individually displayed more than four functions. In other
Correct.
Words, that each displayed more than four functions. And you cite a bunch of stuff in your blue brief, but none of those appendix sites, I think, support what you're saying. All they suggest is that collectively there were more than four functions. But it doesn't say that either one used more than four functions.
Okay, I'm sorry, Your Honor, I must have misspoke. I said that's correct too quickly. So let me be clear what our position is. Kearney shows four functions. Whitman shows four functions. They are a different set of four functions. That's what we've argued. We said was when you combine Whitman and Kearney, you would want the combined benefit of all those functions. And so the
nothing in the prior art ever operated with more than four functions, right?
That's incorrect, Your Honor. The basic surgical stapler would have, with a single axis articulation, is four functions. A basic surgical stapler with dual axis articulation has five functions. The dual axis articulation...
Is an example of that in the record that Tim referenced?
Exactly. The TIM application, which is prior art, which we used to combine for Claim 11, is a dual-axis stapler that has the five functions. So the prior art definitely shows that, but we're also saying that one of skill in the art, seeing that Tierney discloses dual-axis articulation, would like to keep that in the combination. And therefore, it's totally appropriate to say you have five functions, the four of Whitman, plus the dual-axis articulation that Tierney teaches. Now, if there's no more questions on that, I want to show that even if this court were to say...
Isn't that the... Assuming that we disagreed with you on isolating out the shifter as part of the analysis, I took it to be your argument that because there were five functions, that would be a need to use the shifter, and therefore there would be a reason to include the shifter. Is that correct?
That is correct, John.
So it turns on the existence in the prior art of five functions. And so you'd argue that the board just committed a clear error when they said there's no known system more than four functions.
Correct, Your Honor. But we would say...
So where did you say that in your petition exactly? I'm trying to figure that out.
Okay, so in our petition, what we said is you could have more than four functions, and you could want the Tierney functions as well. And so in our petition, we discussed the dual axis of Tierney at... let me find that citation.
That's important.
Appendix 3. Yeah. So it's appendix... Right, so appendix 309... 309. There is a discussion of Tierney having dual axis capability.
I'm looking at 309.
So if you look toward the...
Yes?
Yeah, at the bottom of that first paragraph, it describes Tierney, and this is showing that it meets the element surgical end effector configured to selectively perform at least two actions. And it says it shows articulation of the wrist about a first and second axes, A1 and A2, as well as into actuation of the two element end effector. And then on the next page.
This is on A309?
Appendix 309, correct, Your Honor.
309.
Towards the bottom of the paragraph, it mentions that. That Tierney provides two-axis articulation for it.
About a first and a second articulation wrist, about a first and a second axes. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes. Yes, Your Honor. And then if you turn the page on 310, it shows a picture, and it points out that for our mapping, action one is articulation of an end effector about axis A1, and action 2 is movement about axis A2. And so it's showing the articulation over two axes.
How does that equate to the five functions?
Oh, because when you're combining Whitman with Tierney, Whitman has four, but only single axis articulation, but we're already mapping Tierney, showing that Tierney has two-axis articulation, and so when you combine them, you get the five functions.
Do you need to have said that much literally in the petition? I don't see that explanation.
Your Honor, we don't say that. What we say is you could have more than four functions, possibly up to 6 to 8. We discuss that in the petition. We don't use the words, oh, by the way, you know, once you combine Tierney's two functions with Whitman's four functions, you get 5 or 6 functions. We didn't, that statement is not there, but we think the import, the fact that we're combining Tierney with Whitman, and Tierney is, we're clearly relying on Tierney for two-axis articulation, which is something Whitman doesn't have, that when you combine it with Whitman, you would carry that function over. So, and we had other motivations as well that the board just kind of disregarded, the most significant probably being the fact that you could control...
Well, you're basically arguing that in order to combine Tierney with Whitman, you need a shifter.
No, actually, we're not. We're saying in order to combine Whitman with Tierney and get the benefit of Tierney's second axis, you need a shifter. Or if you want to combine Whitman and Tierney and get the benefit of reducing the number of drives so you simplify the robot, you would need a shifter. And what
we
all say...
What I mean is you're saying in order to get the full use of a combination of the two, you need a shifter.
Well, I want to be careful, Your Honor. I think you're right. We do believe that, but there are... But it would have been obvious to do less than full uses as well, but our point is there are many ways to make a combination to be obvious, and you don't just pick, you know, the least, the least troublesome path, so to speak. You know, both Whitman with a shifter is obvious, Whitman without a shifter is obvious. They're both equally obvious. The idea that the shifter somehow, it wouldn't have been obvious to keep the shifter when it's sitting in Whitman is what we say is where the board had legal error.
Okay, Mr. Kass, yeah. We need to hear from Mr. Ferguson. Yeah,
thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor. Three points. First, on robotic system, and this is on Ethicon's appeal, we believe the statement at column 26, lines 37 to 40, is definitional. If it's not, certainly the specification only describes one robotic system, which is consistent with that statement. Intuitive's counsel stated that our expert, Dr. Cimino, conceded that our construction was wrong. That's just not true. At Appendix 2158, you can read his testimony. He's asked a question about a totally hypothetical scenario. There is no evidence in the record of that hypothetical robotic arm ever being actually in the prior art, so that is not a concession. On tool mounting portion, I'll point to column 34 at lines 50 to 55 as another example. This states that the tool embodiment describes an interface arrangement that's particularly well suited for mounting the robotically controllable medical tool onto at least one form of robotic arm. That's the tool mounting portion. It's mounted to the robotic arm. Turning to Intuitive's appeal, there needed to be evidence that a PASITA would have combined Whitman and Tierney and kept Whitman's shifter mechanism in making the combination, and the board made factual findings that the evidence supporting that combination was lacking. The evidence showed that even if there was a general motivation to combine Whitman and Tierney, they would not have included the shifter mechanism in that combination because it would have been unnecessary. The board made factual findings on this. Appendix 3403 to 3408 is the testimony of our expert. Appendix 3460 to 61 is their expert's concession that the shifter is not necessary in Whitman. It's an optional embodiment. And in Appendix 3474 to 75, Intuitive's expert agreeing that there are only four functions set forth in Whitman and in Tierney. The portion of the petition that Mr. Katz cited at Appendix 309 to 310, that does not support the argument that there are more than four functions. In fact, it shows instead on the petition at page 310, figure 6, that shows four drive elements that are labeled there and pointed to. This was a situation where if the art was combined, you would end up with four drive elements driving the four driven elements in Whitman. There was no need for a shifter. The board specifically found that, Appendix 24 and Appendix 29.
Mr. Stoll, I just want to ask you a quick question. The board said that there was no prior art that had five functions. Do you agree with that? I mean, I'm looking at Tim, and I'm not sure that's correct. What's your response?
My response, Your Honor, is that Intuitive never pointed the board to specifically any prior art that does have more than four functions.
It's been obvious to modify these two references in order to have more than four functions. In order to have the shifter, you would want to have, you'd include the shifter in order to have more than four functions. And I don't know that they knew that they had to say that additional point that there is prior art that has more than four functions, given the existence of TIM and statements in the specification.
Well, the board, I believe, Your Honor, made factual findings to that extent, and if that was Intuitive's argument, it should have been made clear in the petition, and it was not. And as we pointed out in our yellow brief at pages 33 to 39, Intuitive made numerous new arguments on appeal that it never presented before the board. I believe I'm out of time unless the board has any other questions, or unless the panel has any other questions.
Any questions?
No.
Okay. I guess not. So we'll go back to Mr. Katz.
Thank you, Your Honor. So, so the board's statement that we provided no motivation is not supported by substantial evidence because there is no evidence establishing that fact. There are a lot. We pointed out lots of bases, and we talked about the Tierney one beforehand, but one I think that I believe just should be dispositive is we pointed out that one of the benefits of a shifter is that you can control one function at a time, and you can basically make sure you don't control two functions simultaneously, so you don't articulate and fire at the same time. This was in Dr. Nodell's expert declaration, and I'll direct your attention to Appendix 1378. Where Dr. Nodell states that. And now they say, well, this wasn't quoted in the petition. Well, it wasn't quoted, but certainly paragraph 54 of Dr. Nodell's declaration, which is what I'm pointing you to, was cited in the petition for support. And if I may just finish that one thought.
Yes, you may.
And in fact, far from bearing this, we brought this up at oral argument. At Appendix 246 to 247, I read portions of this into the record. And the board didn't deal with it. And so they ignored a clear benefit of keeping the shifter. And that alone, we believe, warrants reversal.
What, Appendix 246 and 247? Is that what you said?
Appendix 246 and 247 is the oral argument. Appendix 1378 is the declaration.
Okay. Anything else from the other judges?
No, thank
okay.
you.
Okay. Thank you, counsel. The case will be submitted.
Thank you very much, Your Honor.